Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife, what's up?
What's up? Do you know what the fuck we're doing tonight?
I do know, but you changed up on me the last minute, so like I only kind of know.
Yeah.
So why don't you fill us in?
Okay, so you were like, hey, so we're going to do the New Testament soon, so let's do an intro to that. And
yeah.
I was like, I think that sounds good, but hold on, let me check something. And then I was right. The thing that I checked was...
Because wife is always right.
Well, yeah.
I am always wrong.
Oh my God, it's so true. I love you for that, because you're always wrong. Well, the thing is that... So we are finishing up 2 Maccabees. We have already finished the Old Testament, except for 2 Maccabees.
Right.
So you're kind of right there. But there's this whole time period between the end of the Maccadoodles and the New Testament, when they start talking about all the Jesus-y stuff.
Right.
And yeah, we covered some of it, and the Maccadoodles falls into the between the Testaments, right? But I wanted to close the gap more, because the Maccadoodles falls when Greece is in charge, right?
Yeah.
And I know that when Jesus comes around,
I mean, who nailed him up?
It was the Romans.
It was the fucking Romans.
And so in my mind, I'm like, hang on, there's a whole handoff from Greece to Rome. And we know in history that Rome took over Greece or what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that that's something happened there.
Right, yeah.
The Greece ain't in charge anymore. It's right. The Romans, right?
It's not Greece, baby.
It's not Greece, baby. Which, I mean, you should go listen to the episode that I did covering Greece, because it was pretty good. But we're not doing that, because
no.
We already did that.
We did.
And so I'm like, when does Rome come in? Where's Rome in all of this? What's a Rome?
What happens in Rome?
Stays in Rome.
I mean, it didn't actually.
Well, no,
it expanded quite a bit.
But I think, like, before we do a complete intro to the New Testament, we got to talk about Rome a little bit and the whole handoff. So that's what we're doing today.
All right. So we're doing Rome.
No, we're doing Greece into Rome.
We're doing Greece into Rome.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, into whatever.
I mean,
we're doing Rome.
Greece. No, it's not Rome alone.
It's not Home Alone either.
It's not Rome alone. It's Greece, Roma.
Okay, let's do it.
Okie dokie. All right, so we're going to talk about what happens after the Maccadoodles, even though we're not really done with the Maccadoodles yet.
Okay? Yeah.
And so it might be a little bit confusing, because we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But we've done this before, so...
Gotten ahead of ourselves.
Oh, yeah. We've also bitten off more than we can chew.
That was from day one.
Oh, yeah.
That was immediately upon starting this podcast.
We also usually don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
100%.
Yeah. So this just falls right in line with that.
Right. But we endeavor to find out, damn it.
We do.
Yeah.
I probably won't remember.
It's our only saving grace.
I don't think so. If you endeavor to find out, you should also endeavor to try to remember and learn from it. And I'm really bad at that, unfortunately.
I'm pretty good at that.
I
hold on to that. Like, I pull shit out sometimes. I'm like, ooh, I remember that.
I pull it out of my ass. You pull it out of things that already actually exist and are true.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
true.
So anyways, after the Maccadoodles.
Yeah.
So guess what happened? The Jews briefly ruled themselves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the Maccabean thing that happened, their whole revolt.
Their God gave them...
They had like five minutes of, yes!
God's like, you're in charge, guys.
Like, you won.
You did it.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah. From like 140 to 63 BCE.
So for like 5 minutes, basically.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you recall, but we were recording, chapter 7, I think, of Second MacaDoodles.
Yeah.
And you were like, and then Rome came in and took over. And I was like, no. You're going to find out, because of the research I had already done, I knew this.
Yeah.
There's about 5 minutes that the Jews ruled themselves. They were very excited. And
wow.
So that Maccabean thing, they wrote that during that like 5 minute time period when they were like, see, if we just listen to God, then we get to rule our own selves.
Yeah. I mean, this is me referencing an upcoming episode for tomorrow, but like,
yeah,
God did some pretty heinous things in there. Oh, and the whole thing was like,
it's grotesque.
Yeah. And then they're like but you're going to get your just dessert. You know, yeah. Like it's coming. Yeah. It's coming.
It's not good. And here's the thing, like, even though we know that Rome comes along and takes over, we also know that, but there's not like a real great Roman translation of the Bible.
No.
The ones that we know about are Latin and Greek.
No, they just spread obviously. It all around the fucking world is what they did.
It was already spread.
Well,
no, the Greeks.
They legitimized it somewhat.
The Greeks had already spread it. They had already created all the road work.
Mm.
They had already, because of Alexander the Great, the way that he ran his countries, and he encouraged the combining of languages and cultures and all of that. He had already encouraged all of these things to happen. So when the Romans came in and they tried to shut down Christianity, the Greeks had already allowed it to spread because of the roads and everything that they
No, I'm not saying it wasn't allowed to spread, but I'm saying that when Rome eventually does adopt Christianity, it does legitimize the religion because they are the superpower at the time.
I see what you're saying.
So
I see what you're
saying. That's all I was getting at.
Yeah. So the Maccabean revolt successfully pushed out the Greek Seleucid rulers. Again, we're not there yet.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So this is ahead of where we are, but it's still not as far as you want it to be.
No.
So I feel like I picked the right way.
I wanted to do a New Testament primer.
I know. And we do need to do one of those, but we're just not there yet.
Right.
I think maybe next week or the week after.
I mean, we've only got like 7 more episodes. 8 more episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a week or two.
Right.
So, yeah, a week or two.
Right.
Is literally what I said.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, so for like 5 minutes, there was an independent Jewish kingdom ruled by the Hasmonean dynasty, which is the Maccabees and their descendants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So for about 80 years.
So what you're telling me, if this is spoilers.
Yeah.
The Maccabees win.
Well, yeah, apparently the Maccabees win. So, yeah, spoilers. Which I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're going to find that out anyways. And it's nothing we couldn't have learned from reading it.
Ancient history.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like I'm telling you that Bruce Willis was a ghost all along. You know, like that's a spoiler.
If you haven't seen it, then you know now.
I'm not telling you
which,
what movie
you know
it
what?
Is.
I had not seen that movie for like the first 20 years.
Yeah.
Or something, 25 years. I don't know. However long I've been out.
Yeah.
And your brother-in-law spoiled the fucking movie for me.
I know. Like you had somehow managed to not hear any of the spoilers.
Yeah.
And I said that in front of my brother-in-law. And so he turned to you and on purpose. And I was like, that is such an asshole thing to do. Like,
yeah.
we were literally getting ready to watch it.
Right, right.
That was just on purpose mean.
Sure.
Because that's, okay, the movie that we're talking about is The Sixth Sense. And I don't care what the fuck anybody says. No, you did not know that Bruce Willis was a ghost the whole time. Like now everybody's like, oh, I always knew it was so obvious. And I'm like, no, you fucking didn't. The entire theater gasped. So shut the fuck up. All of you assholes that are claiming you knew the whole time. No, you didn't. Okay. The movie was phenomenal and it was so wonderful. And yeah, in retrospect, it did make perfect sense. That's why it was such a great payoff because of course he was. Ugh. But anyway, the joy of that movie.
I knew the whole time.
No, you didn't. Fuck off.
I was told.
It ruined it. It ruined it because it was a good movie and he ruined it for you. I'm sorry. Anyways. For about 80 years, Judea was independent, ruled by Jewish priest kings, expanding their own territory and functioning like a normal small nation. For about 80 years, they were like, yeah, we're the shit, man.
Right.
But there were a lot of problems.
As you would imagine.
Not just like outer nations trying to take over. There were a lot of civil wars. There was corrupt leadership. Like basically all the things that they always had problems with, they still were there.
Right.
They had power struggles.
They can never have nice things.
No.
Yeah.
They can't let themselves have nice things.
Yeah.
There were power struggles between rival heirs, which, like, of course there were.
Right.
So there was infighting, and that allowed other people to come in and take their shit.
Sure.
So the internal instability is exactly what invited Rome in. So.
Yeah. I mean,
womp womp.
A couple reasons. You don't want instability on your borders. And, you know, also probably was becoming a problem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, I mean, Rome was so big, they would have took it anyways. I don't think it would have mattered even if they had all their shit together.
Right, right.
Rome was still going to get it.
Yeah.
So Rome came into the picture about 63 BCE.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So we're coming up on the zero line, okay?
Yeah.
So in 63 BCE, the Roman general Pompey. Because it's more fun to say. Say it, Pompey.
No, I refuse.
He's Pompey hereafter.
I said it once. I won't do it again.
Pompey marched into Jerusalem.
Jesus Christ.
Pompey. So he marched in, but he didn't destroy Jerusalem. He did something even worse. He made Judea a client kingdom of Rome.
Okay.
So.
Why is that worse?
It's worse because he's like, you're Rome now.
Yeah.
So,
but I feel like they were being run poorly, though. So maybe they, at some level, were like, yeah, you're right. We suck.
Okay. No. Okay. Here's why it's worse. It's worse historically. It was probably better in the moment. Okay. But like looking back, it's like, I wish you would have just, you know, leveled it.
Got it. Yeah.
But instead, the Jews got to keep their religion, and the Jews kept their temples, and the Jews had their own king.
They were trying to be all Alexander the Great about it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But Rome was the real power behind the throne. And so from that moment on, Judea belonged to the Roman Empire.
Sure, sure.
Which that's, you know.
Which that's not new. Like, there's been other people that ruled Judea that were. That allowed them
do
to
do your
have.
Own thing, except that pay us your taxes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like even some, a lot of them, like specifically right after the Babylonian exile.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't.
It was that one guy.
Yeah. It was that one guy.
I know who you're talking about.
Right.
It was the good one.
Yeah. It was the good one.
The one that we liked. I want to say his name started with a C.
I can't remember.
But I can't
remember right now.
Yeah.
I should know these things.
I know.
But I don't. I remember there was a good king.
There was a good leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then in 37, between 37 and 4 BCE, that just feels so weird. Like there was a year 4 BCE.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's when King Herod comes in. And he's that Bible King Herod.
Okay. Yeah.
Like during the Jesus time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's that king. Roman king.
Okay? Yeah. He was like, he hunted down Jesus and stuff, right?
Yeah. Like, again, we're not there yet. So this is like all ahead of us.
Sure.
But so Rome installed Herod the Great as their king.
Okay.
And he's the one that's in the nativity story, and he wants to do the census and all that, you know, Herod. Okay.
All right.
You know, the census is why Mary and Joseph went on the run.
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why they were like, excuse me, do you have any room at the inn tonight? My wife is pregnant. Can we please have a room at the inn? And then every room in town is full. So that's why they have to sleep in the barn. And that's where Jesus is born.
Yeah.
Because they were traveling because of the census.
I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. I knew a thing. I knew a Jesus-y thing.
That's great.
That's weird.
That's great.
I shouldn't know that, I feel like. Yeah, so anyway, Herod is that king.
Okay.
He's not fully Jewish. He was Idumean. But he was super loyal to Rome.
Okay.
Okay. And he was.
When you say he's not fully Jewish, does that mean he's some Jewish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Rome installed Herod the Great as the king in Judea.
Got it.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
So he's like, here, Rome is like, here, have your little Jewish king guy. Okay.
Got it. He's got his little fiefdom.
Yeah. And so Herod's like, I'm kind of Jewish. I'm Jewish. Ah. Yeah. And so he's not fully Jewish, but he is very loyal to Rome. He's politically ruthless. He's a massive builder. Like, he rebuilt the temple and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was trying to put all kinds of shit back together. So he's trying to have it both ways.
Got it.
But he can't.
Okay.
He can't have it both ways. You've got to pick one.
Right.
And he's loyal to Rome.
Yeah.
So he ruled Judea when Jesus was born. Okay.
Okay.
Now, why is Rome in charge and not Greece? What the fuck happened? Okay.
I'm assuming war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously. By Jesus's time, Rome had conquered the Greek world. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're backing up a little bit.
Is this the Trojan War? Or is that something else?
I'm
going to stop guessing because I don't actually know off the top of my head which war would be. But
that was a different, that was lots of Greek things happening, I think. Like Helen of Troy and.
Okay.
You know, that was Troy.
Yeah.
Trojan Troy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I feel like it was whatever. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. So, okay. We're going backwards in time a little bit, though. Okay. Sure. 200 to 146 BCE, Rome defeated the Greek kingdoms. Okay.
Okay.
And then in 146 BCE, Rome destroyed Corinth.
Okay.
Which is a Greek thing.
Okay.
Rome's like, boom, done. Corinth is gone. Greece then became part of the Roman Empire. So by the first century, Rome ruled everything Greece used to rule. So they just moved in and took everything that Greece had already set up.
Got it.
So they didn't like make everything. They were just like, oh my God, you guys did such a good job. This is ours now. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were like, this is awesome. You made roads. Okay, we're just going to rename them now. Thank you. Bye. So this included Judea, Syria, Egypt, Asia Minor, and Greece itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it just, everything got absorbed.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And Greek culture still dominated daily life, even though the leadership was Roman. So you have Rome in charge, but Greek in, it was like, what is that saying? It was like Greek in the sheets, like Rome in the streets, but Greek in the sheets kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. So the New Testament was written in Greece, right? Or in Greek, not Latin, right? And Greek was the common language at the time. Okay, and that was because, like I said, Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
His conquest had created a very Greek-speaking world. He made Greek just the common tongue, and he made the culture Greek. Everything was Greek. Remember Greece, baby?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the Romans used Greek in the Eastern Empire. So the Romans spoke Greek.
Yeah.
Greek.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So Rome ruled politically, but Greek culture ruled culturally.
Okay.
Okay. So Rome's in charge, but Greek is the way we act.
Real quick interjection here.
Yeah.
The Trojan War was in like the 12th or 13th century BCE. So definitely was not. I was way off base.
You were so
way off base.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So you should not add things because I don't know enough to like argue with you and it throws me off.
That's why I fact checked myself because I was like, yeah, that you're probably right that I was wrong about that one. So
your face didn't say that at the time. So I'm really grateful that you're correcting yourself now.
Mm, yeah.
Because your face was like, what? I'm totally right. And I was like, I don't think you are. but I don't know stuff. So like, what the fuck do I know? All right. So Rome was the government, but Greece was the operating system. Okay.
All right.
Got it?
I got it.
Okay. And that's important because that's the world that Jesus grew up in. That's what he was born into.
Yeah.
It's Greece, baby, except that it's Rome. But, you know, it's Greekish. It's right?
All, yeah.
Yeah. It's not all Greece to me, but it acts like it.
Right.
Yeah.
For walks so, like a duck and
quack, baby.
And so, it's Rome.
Yeah.
I mean, Greece.
Or
Rome.
Yeah. It's both. bit of both,
yeah.
Right? So when Jesus was born and then when he grew up and was like walking around preaching and shit, Judea was under Roman occupations, just one occupation. Roman occupation.
Yeah.
I said occupations, like jobs.
Right.
But no, it was under Roman occupation, meaning the Romans were occupying that land and kingdom and place.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Judea was under Roman control.
Okay.
And the Roman governors ruled everything. Okay?
Yeah.
And of those, we get Pontius Pilate.
Okay. Of the
Roman governors.
Okay, all right.
One of them is Pontius Pilate.
I know that
he's
name.
A Bible-y guy.
Yeah, I feel like he was really important.
He was. He was the one who sentenced Jesus to crucifixion.
Right, right, okay? Yeah.
We're getting into serious spoiler territory here. But it's stuff that, like, we kind of know. Like, I kind of know the names. And
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this doesn't feel like spoilers when you and I know this stuff, like,
yeah.
By heart. So,
I mean, did you know that he was the one who sentenced Jesus?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure you did. Okay. So crucifixion itself was a Roman punishment, not Jewish, not Greek.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Not Latin by far. Okay. Like.
Right.
No, it was not Jewish, not Greek. It was totally a Roman kind of thing.
Sure.
Okay. And so that's why Rome became very central to the whole Jesus story, because they just moved in and were like, I mean, it's still Greece, but we're just calling it Rome now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's why Jews hated Roman rule.
Okay.
Okay. They were taxed heavily, which I'm like, under the Romans or like ever under anybody ever?
Sure.
So I don't know.
Yeah, was this exclusive or?
I don't know if it's fair to say we totally hated it when the Romans were in charge because they taxed us heavily.
Couldn't you just have a tea party or something like?
But I mean, couldn't you just say, God, we hate that everybody who rules us ever always taxes us heavily.
Right.
Like, I don't think they probably taxed you any heavier than anybody else did. Well, everybody sucked.
Whatever. So that they didn't like that.
And also, Rome installed puppet kings, which, hello, I know that ain't the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The Romans executed rebels brutally, which, hi, we're reading about the Greeks doing that right fucking now.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Again, not new things.
Yeah.
These are all standard operating procedure for conquering entities back then.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Romans controlled the high priest.
Right.
Which, again,
standard.
Yep.
Standard.
So you hated Roman rule. What you mean to say is you hate anybody who's ruling you.
You fucking hate being conquered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks to be conquered.
Right.
Being conquered totally fucking sucks.
Yep.
Many Jews were hoping for a Messiah who would overthrow Rome. They were like, remember that one time when it sucked so fucking bad and we had a Messiah guy and he let his people go and... Like, we followed him into the desert, and that was Moses. And wouldn't it be cool if we had a Messiah guy who would, like, let my people go today? That'd be so fucking cool.
So we can wander around for 40 more years.
Yeah, but in the desert and having God throw birds at us as proof that he's real. That'd be awesome, bruh. This expectation...
Make Judea great again.
Yeah, exactly. So they weren't just hoping it. They were, like, practically expecting it. Because it sucked so bad for them, they were like, it's bound to happen. Because
right.
Every time we suffer, the more we suffer, the more God saves us eventually. So it's almost like we're just not suffering enough. If we just suffer harder, God's going to save us.
Sure.
Which really entices them to be a suffering people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird religion.
Right.
So this expectation formed the background of the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
Okay. The four first four books of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Okay. When people call Jesus King of the Jews, that's very political language. It implies rebellion against Rome, and that's mostly why Roman executed him. It wasn't just what he stood for. And it wasn't just what he was preaching.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that people were following him. It's that the people were calling him the King of the Jews.
Got it.
And that made for King of the actual king, like, be like, no, I'm the king of the Jews, and I'm the king of all of y'all, and fuck off.
Right, right.
So Greece never disappeared. It just became a Roman province, and all the Greek cities still thrived under Rome, as we know, because they still exist to this day.
Yeah.
To this day.
Right.
You got to say it like that.
Right, right.
Come on, say it.
To this day.
No, you got to say to this day.
You got it covered, I think.
All right, all right. So many New Testament events happen in Greek cities.
Okay.
Which I didn't know.
All right.
But we get Corinth, and we get Ephesus, and Thessalonica, and Philippi?
Sure.
I don't know how to say that fucking city.
Yeah.
What, do I look like I'm Greek? So, anyway, one of the apostles, Paul, he spends most of his time in the Greek regions, which we're not even at that. I don't know who Paul is, but he's one of the guys.
Pretty important.
I know he's important, but he's not one of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
No, but he's more important.
That's what I get. That's what I hear, but I don't know him. I don't know any of them guys, but I guess that guy spends most of his time in Greece areas.
Got it.
And the Roman Empire was politically Roman, but culturally Greek in the Greek area. So
it's Philippi.
Oh, good to know. Philippi, Philippians.
And it's Ephesus.
Ephesus.
Thank you, Brady.
Ephesus.
We're doing our live. It just, we forgot to say that. We're live on Discord.
So yeah.
We can take real-time corrections.
Yeah, you should join us Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern so that
so
you
that can still butcher the corrections.
Yeah, so you could try to help me learn how to say stuff. I'll still say it wrong, but you can make fun of me.
Also, I got to throw this out there. Fern shared something up here, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Fern says, why did the Jews dislike Roman rule? I mean, sure, taxes, but they also, but there's also the rampant soldiery just killing and maiming them at will with no consequences and the occasional rape for thrills. And apparently, there's a historical hypothesis that Mary was pregnant from a Roman soldier, possibly through rape, and it's supported by some allegations in extra-biblical records.
What?
Now, look, we're not into this shit yet, but that sounds interesting.
What? I need that story pronto.
Right, right.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, she was raped by a Roman soldier?
I mean, that
tracks.
Right?
But, so, okay, I'm not there yet. I gotta calm my tits. I gotta calm my tits right now. Whew, that was heavy. Thanks, Fern. Whew, this is why you have to join us on Discord, so you could say shit that, like, fucking throws me off right in the middle of my spiel here. All right, so here's the timeline summary of basically what happened.
Okay? All right.
So in 333 BCE, Alexander conquered the whole region. Okay? We already covered all that.
Yeah.
Okay? 167 BCE is the Maccabean Revolt, which we've just covered that twice now in First and Second Maccadoodles.
Right, right.
Okay? 140 to 63 BCE, which is what we're coming up on in our reading, we get independent Jewish kingdom. Okay?
Yeah.
Then in 63 BCE, Rome conquers Judea. Okay. And that's the part we won't really read about because there's no Bible-y equivalent.
It. Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was like, what is that?
Right.
And that's what this is.
Yeah.
Okay. And then 37 to 4 BCE is when Herod ruled. And then about 4 BCE is when Jesus is born. And then 26 to 36 CE, so current era, Pontius Pilate governs, and then about 30 CE is when Jesus was executed.
Got it.
So, he was only about 26 years old then.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. That's a bad age to get hung up on a cross.
I mean, yeah, I think any age
is a
bad age to get hung up on a cross.
I am going to say Jesus getting hung up on the cross, he did not get it as bad as the seven brothers that we just read about.
No. Yeah.
I am just going to say that. And also,
what would our religious paraphernalia would look more like a frying pan if
dang.
If he got done that way.
Oh, I want...
I'm just saying, tune in tomorrow. You'll find out why.
I want a frying pan necklace. Honestly, I want a frying pan necklace. Just a little miniature frying pan.
Yeah.
And then when people ask me, I'll be like, it's my promise that I will give you up in a fucking minute because I have no soul.
And also, you can double it to cook bacon on.
No, it'll be too little for that unless it's miniature. Little.
Miniature bacon.
Yeah. All right. So that is basically the whole between the MacAdoodles and the Jesus story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So the New Testament sits right at the intersection of Jewish religion, Greek culture, and Roman political power.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting kind of, you know, crossroads to be at. All three were present simultaneously. Rome provided the government, the military, and the crucifixion.
Sure.
Greece provided the language, the philosophy, and the culture. Mm. And then Judaism provided the theology, the scriptures, and the Messiah expectations.
Got it.
The people suffering that required a Messiah.
Sure.
And then Christianity emerges from that giant collision, which I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That is very interesting to me.
Right.
Rome unintentionally helped Christianity spread because their infrastructure made travel easier with the roads and the shipping routes and the political unity that they kind of took off of Greece.
Yeah.
Like Greece made big, but then when Rome came in, they cleaned it up.
Got it.
And so I just found that so interesting because ironically, Rome executed Jesus, but Rome's empire, the fact of the empire, helped spread his message everywhere. Like, oh, that didn't work out really well.
Right. Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about today, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The reason Trump is so popular is because of the internet.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
That's how his message spread.
Yeah,
not
that is
we
true.
Wanted it to.
No,
it
you're
happened,
right.
So.
I do want to say something really interesting. When I was a kid, my dad was in the military and he was stationed in southern Italy. And there were times that the school that I went to, which was a Department of Defense school, would take the kids off base and we would get to see local things in the country, in Italy.
Sure.
One of the things that we got to see was the Appian Way.
Okay.
Like,
oh, that's like
the actual stones.
Yeah.
The actual road.
Right.
That the Roman soldiers marched on.
Yeah.
And I was never a kid that was like into history or anything, but the moment that I understood that the Roman soldiers had actually marched on these stones that
you can't
I was
help but have some reverie for that.
I literally kind of like I fell and like my hands went onto the stones because I was like, I'm touching history. And it was one of the most heavy moments that I can recall experiencing in my childhood. And I was in, I don't know, like 8th, 9th, 10th grade.
Sure.
I don't remember because I was there.
Right.
Like, I was there between 5th and 10th grade. So I had to be old enough to understand the weight of history.
I feel like I would be much the same way. I mean, my whole life has been spent mostly in the U.S., right? But I love history. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my history knowledge is heavier on U.S.-based things. So, I love... Whenever we travel, I always look up like Civil War spots and things like that. Like just there's something about being where history happened to me that is very connecting. It's very
it makes you feel a part like that whole thing that Christians talk about being part of something bigger than yourself. It's that, but with the understanding that it's not bigger like an entity, it's bigger as in the whole world existed before I did.
Yeah.
And all of these things happened, whether I lived or not.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, exactly. And to me, there's something about, like, it's not that I love visiting battle spots, but I do. But the reason I, not because I want to see where a battle happened, but because I want to remember that a battle happened.
Right.
That there was a...
You don't glorify struggle. War and death. You glorify, you honor those who died and what happened.
Right.
That allowed where you are today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think there's totally different ways of getting, of feeling that moment of history. And I there's a lot of people that also love the fighting aspect of it. I don't love the fighting aspect of it.
No, no.
I love what we were able to make, like how we came through this as a country, how we got to the other side, and then being there, seeing where these things, people's blood were spilled to make these things happen for our country. That to me is the part
that's part of the whole American dream thing that you carry with you as a Boy Scout and sure. as a lover of history and as what the original patriotism and being a true American was all about for you.
Right.
So I get that. I, having felt that overseas, I never connected with America as a newer country.
Sure.
Like, you talk about like the Civil War, the American Civil War, and how that impacts you and how you feel about the country.
Yeah.
Like, I never connected with that because I felt like what I had touched was so much older and that America was like, whomst the fuck do you think you are, new kid on the block?
Yeah, well, and even where you spent some of your young adulthood and even childhood, you weren't really connected to it because you were out in Texas and Arizona and places that weren't really like the old country of the U.S., right? Like,
right.
This is where I grew up is very much, there's a lot of history
sure.
in this part of the country, right?
American history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Right. Correct. U.S. history.
Right.
At that.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't really ever have a point in time. And as you've learned moving around to different places, there is a lot of, you learn localized history
yeah.
when you live in the U.S., which yeah. you didn't learn because you were not in the U.S.
So. No, when I actually came back to the U.S., my dad retired from the Air Force. I came back to the U.S. to start 11th grade in Texas, never having lived there, never knowing anything about Texas as a state, much less
right.
the United States. Like, I never felt that, you know, I felt what it was like to be an American overseas, missing America and missing the states. I never felt what it was like to be American in America and to connect with that culture.
Sure.
And there is a difference. But yeah, we had to take local history classes. And I was like, Texas, the fuck do I care about Texas history? I'm not Texan. I'm not from Texas. I don't give a shit about I lived overseas. I am a military brat. I lived in Europe. I travel. Why the fuck do I care about Texas?
Right.
Like, I could not make myself care
right.
even in the slightest. And the more that the state was horrible, and the more my experience there was horrible, like, the more I was like, this is such a joke. And I didn't have the words, I didn't have the understanding to convey to everybody why, like, I felt so strongly about it. And I don't know that my feeling is even the right feeling to have, but it's the feeling I had.
But, like, where we live now, like, you've come to know because you've been here long enough, like, the Wright brothers, I mean, dominate local history here. You know, like, that is that's all anybody talks about with, like, if you've lived here, you know about the Wright brothers. You knew everything yeah. about the fucking Wright brothers,
yeah.
you know? So, like, and there's some little, like, where you were in Texas for a little bit, everybody would have known about the Alamo, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm sure that was the local history there.
Yeah.
You know, and there's always some little snippet wherever you go, which I can't even imagine for the old world, like, you know, Rome and just places like that. The amount of depth in that that local history right. is so much more.
That's what I felt. I was like, y'all are so proud of this, but this is yesterday. I'm talking about centuries and centuries and centuries ago. I'm talking about a fucking continent where actual history was made, you know?
Right.
Sure. And I just couldn't connect. I've lived in Ohio for almost 26 years.
Right.
It'll be 26 years at the end of this year.
Yeah.
And I'm still, I have lived here, but I don't ever still consider myself really from here.
Sure.
Because I just.
You're not from really anywhere.
I'm not. And
the closest you would consider would be Italy, but that doesn't
and even
exist where you live there anymore.
Yeah, that base doesn't exist anymore. And I don't know enough about off base to be able to say, oh, yeah, I totally connect with Italy. Like, my parents did me no service, y'all. They did me no fucking favors. Like, I literally don't connect with anywhere. I guess I connect with Ohio more than anything anywhere, but even that's kind of like, meh. Because then people start getting a little too uppity, and I'm like, you think you're so big. If you're so fucking awesome, why are you in Ohio? Like, it's Ohio. It's not like this is New York. It's not like this is California. Y'all acting like you something, but you're in Ohio, and you're in Dayton at that. Like, the fuck?
It's the Gem City, baby.
Yeah, it's something. Anyways.
Yeah.
So that was not Greece, baby, and it was almost Rome, baby, and Greece and Rome, and that's what we're talking
where we're
about.
That's where we're at. We're so fucking close to the New Testament, guys.
I can
like, I'm getting messages on, like, okay, people can leave messages for us on Spotify.
Yeah.
As, like, comments, and I've gotten at least 3 or 4 messages, like, I'm really looking forward to the New Testament, and then, like, everybody on Discord's like, when are we getting to the New Testament? And they're like, probably never. And then I'm like, no, we're getting there.
We're almost there, y'all. As soon as we finish the second Macadoodles, I think we're ready to actually start. I had to feel my way into it. And this actually learning the crossover time period in history, this actually helped me get ready for it.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're almost there.
We're almost there. Like 8 more episodes to go. That's it. And then we're going to be in the New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty close. It's pretty close now, y'all. We can see the pages.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all you got, right?
That's all I got, right?
All right. You're listening to this. We're going to say it again tomorrow because we actually did tomorrow's episode before we did this episode. But like you would have just got done listening to the State of the Union if you watched it last night. And I'm really sorry.
It sucked. I'm
really, really, really sorry.
It was like, what, 3 hours of fucking trash?
It broke
trash?
A fucking record for length, I think. Yeah, it was
unlike,
terrible.
Unlike his dick. Oh! That's what they said.
Right, yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And don't forget to join us next week on Discord Live, 10 p.m. Eastern on Discord, because, you know, it's the Discord.
On Tuesdays.
And there's a link in the show notes, as always. So go click on that. Join us. Come over. Be there. Or, you know, don't. But, I mean, you know, you should.
Just do.
Just do it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.